Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, and we continue in our series entitled The Amazing Doctrine of Divine Grace. And last time we were with you, we were talking about the biblical warnings against the misuse, abuse, and neglect of God's grace. And we were speaking about the anarchic misuse of God's grace. What do I mean by anarchic? Well, anarchic or anarchy means lawlessness. And Jude 4 warns about people surreptitiously entering into the church and through the cloak of being Christian, using that disguise to say that God's grace, whereby we are forgiven and pardoned of all sin, gives us then license to live a sinful life. To live a sinful life. And we showed how that was simply not true, that Christians, though no longer under the law of Moses, are obligated to follow and obey the law of Christ, as Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 7:22 and 9:21. And we defined from the scripture what the law of Christ is. It is the law of agape love, God's love. The law of Christ is to love God supremely and then love our neighbor as ourselves. This love practically translates into moral obedience to God and a just treatment and concern for our neighbor's well-being. In fact, this kind of love fulfills the law. And now let us move on. As we let the love of God work in us by grace, as we let this love of God, which is a manifestation of His grace, work in us and through us, Christ's law is expressed and fulfilled. We are saved by God's free grace, not so that we can do whatever we want or desire. Believers in Christ are liberated from the bondage of sin to serve a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace never excuses us from rendering obedience to God. It gives us, rather, the power to obey Him with holy and righteous conduct in all manner of living through the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. Titus 2:11 and 12, which we've talked about before in this series, and 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3, 5 through 7. Both of these passages teach that grace does not free us from obedience to God, but rather empowers us to obey God as Christ lives in us. And when He lives in us, He lives His life of holiness and righteousness through us. And this is the power of grace and the dynamic of grace. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God's grace emancipates us from sin to serve Christ, as Paul teaches us in Galatians 5:13 and 14. He says there, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, to freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." That is, Christ has freed us from the penalty and power of sin. But that liberation which His grace purchased for us does not then give us a license for giving in to the sinful flesh, but rather through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Grace is never used as a cloak for evil doing, just as those in Jude 4 warn us about these false teachers who will come in and claim that the grace of our God allows us then to pursue a lascivious and licentious lifestyle. No, grace is never used in this fashion. Rather, grace from what the New Testament teaches us. Grace empowers us, frees us from the power of sin to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with holiness and moral uprightness. Those who have truly received God's saving grace will keep Christ's commandments with loving obedience. Salvation produces a heart of obedience. It is not a condition for salvation, but rather a consequence of it. Salvation by grace produces an obedient heart and a willingness from the saved to want to walk and obey the Lord, walk with Him and obey Him. Scripture tells us, "For this is the love of God." What is the love of God? Is it some warm, fuzzy feeling? No! It is expressed in acts of obedience to God. "For this is the love of God," Scripture says, "that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And those commandments, what are they? Are they the 613 laws of the Torah, as some of those who teach in the Messianic community? No. We are not under the law of Moses. We are not under the economy of the Old Covenant. No, we are supposed to love God first and foremost, and then love our neighbor as ourself. These are the commandments Jesus gives, and which the Torah is subsumed under. Remember what Jesus said when he... I believe he spoke to the rich man who asked him, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On both of these hang the law and the prophets." So this is what you and I are called to do under the economy of the new covenant, which... by which we receive God's grace, and that is to walk in and with the love of Christ towards our Savior, of course, and towards other people. Obedience to God is not a mere option for Christians, but is the natural outgrowth of saving grace. God's grace always produces holy and moral living. So if you have someone who names the name of Christ, who claims to be a Christian, and yet there is no evidence of a holy and morally upright life lived, then that person's salvation should naturally be suspect. And of course, John in his first epistle gives us evidences for the born-again life. And he does this when he uses the recurring phrase, "He that is born of God does this," or "He that is born of God does not do that." And when he says born, of course, he's talking about spiritual rebirth. So there are certain signs and evidences of one who is saved by grace. And one of those chief signs is moral obedience to the Lord. Again, not as a condition for salvation, as many have falsely taught in the church and without the church, the various world religions. No, obedience to Jesus Christ on a constant basis is a consequence of salvation. Works, as James discusses in his book in chapters 1 and 2. Now let us talk about falling from the grace of God. Another important subject under our topic, the amazing doctrine of divine grace. Falling from the grace of God. We find this phrase, once again, used by the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. Remember that at the time Paul was writing the Galatian church, the Christians there were facing several threats, including one from a group of ultra-Orthodox Jews who were teaching that faith in Christ alone was not enough for salvation. But one had to combine that with trying to keep the law of Moses. In other words, they were teaching you must become a Jew first before you can be saved by Christ and hence become a Christian. Paul, of course, said that was a repudiation of the gospel message. That is, that one is saved by faith in Christ alone, apart from any efforts or works at trying to keep the law. More on that here in a few minutes. But let us look at falling from grace. Paul says in Galatians 5:4, he said that the Messiah has become of no effect to you who attempt to be justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Again, I'll read this in the New King James translation. In Galatians 5:4, it says, it translates this verse to say, you have become estranged from Messiah. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen, or literally, fallen away from grace. The Greek word for falling here in this verse is ekpepto. It means to lose and become inefficient. Galatians 5:4 does not mean to say that by falling from grace, salvation is lost. That would be impossible because we know that the gift of salvation is a gift that once received lasts forever. The context and circumstance of the epistle to the Galatians provides the true meaning of what it means to fall from grace and how it happens. The historical context is this. The churches from the region of Galatia, now Galatia was the northern region of Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, they were being disrupted by a group of heretics called the Judaizers, who were akin to the Pharisaic party of Jerusalem during the Second Temple period. And they were ultra-Orthodox Jews that taught one could be saved or sanctified by grace plus the addition of the observance of the law of Moses, which entailed being circumcised, keeping the Sabbath, eating kosher food, and so forth. So faith in Christ was not sufficient alone for salvation, but the individual also had to basically convert to Judaism and promise to keep the law of Moses in its entirety. And the law of Moses, or the Torah, they're one and the same, was a law that consisted in 613 commandments. And so the Judaizers were coming to Galatians saying, no, wait a minute, you can't be saved by just trusting in Yeshua HaMashiach alone. No, you have to produce the works of the law. Mitzvot Torah in Hebrew. You had to keep the law and keep it perfectly in order to be saved, because you can't keep half the law and disobey the other half and expect to be right in the eyes of God. So, the Judaizers taught the Galatians that they had to not only believe in Jesus the Messiah, but also strictly follow the law of Moses in every point to be saved. And this is a recurring problem that happens today, particularly in the Messianic movement. There are some circles of Messianic believers who teach that you must not only believe upon the Lord Jesus for salvation, but you also have to observe and follow the particulars of the Torah, such as eating kosher, observing the Sabbath, and observing the Feast of Israel. Now, one can do this to further enrich their understanding of the Messiah, of which these things pointed to, but to make them obligatory upon the Christian church as a condition for salvation or a condition for sanctification and fellowship with God is false and heretical. Paul clearly says these things when he writes his epistle to the Galatians. Salvation, according to the Judaizers, these false teachers, consisted of keeping the law of Moses in accordance with the prescribed rituals of Judaism. So if anybody says that you must do that as an added condition for salvation in Jesus or for keeping your salvation in Jesus, as some do today in the Messianic movement, they are recycling and perpetuating the heresy of the Judaizers that was first found and mentioned in the book of Galatians. Paul proclaimed to the Galatians that salvation is by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ apart from the works of the law. Hence we have the theological concept sola fide, which means faith alone. Salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ. However, the Judaizers of Galatia taught contrariwise that salvation is attained by a combination of faith and by trying to keep the Torah. Divine grace for the Judaizers served merely as an extra help for the Christian to keep the law. Paul quickly corrected this damnable heresy in his epistle to the Galatians. He wrote to the Galatians that salvation is based on faith alone in the complete and finished work of Messiah's death on the cross, apart from the works of the law. Galatians 2:16 makes this irrefutable. Paul says here, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by trust or faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Messiah Jesus that we might be justified, that is, made right in the eyes of God. We have been justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." So here in one verse in Galatians 2:16, Paul is saying that you cannot be justified. You cannot be made right in the eyes of God, saved and accepted, so that you can have fellowship with Him by trying to keep the law of Moses, because you can't keep it. It is a perfect law. And man is imperfect and constantly prone to break God's law. And so it is by trust in the perfect Savior alone that saves us. And so, because of man's sinful and flawed nature, he is unable to perfectly obey all that the law demands, because the law of Moses, demands perfect obedience. You can't just pick and choose which parts of the law of Moses you will obey. If you seek to gain favor with God or salvation by the law, you have to obey it perfectly. But you cannot, because you are born, inherited from Adam. You are born with a sin nature that innately desires to turn away from God and disobey His law and will. Therefore, trying to keep Torah cannot justify the sinner before God. Instead, the sinner must trust and fully believe that Jesus the Messiah died on the cross and shed His blood to pay the price for sin, and rose from the dead 3 days later. That, my friend, is the gospel which the law prepares the sinner and points the sinner in that direction. The purpose of the law is to show that we are sinners, that we have sinned, and that we need someone to save us from the penalty of the law which we broke. There is no other way the sinner can obtain pardon or approval from God except by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. To teach and believe we can earn salvation by working for it blatantly denies what is taught in the Scriptures. Salvation is given through Christ alone and received by faith alone in a forgiving God. In Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, pronounced in no uncertain terms God's curse of eternal damnation on those that preach a gospel of self-effort and works, which is contrary to the gospel of salvation by grace alone, received through faith alone. So any work system that someone claims you have to follow, in addition to faith in Christ, or to replace faith in Christ, that you must do in order to achieve salvation, is anathematized by God Himself in Scripture. So if someone comes along claiming to be messianic, and says that you must become a Torah observant Jew before you can have salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is teaching another gospel and is under the curse of God. Paul says here in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, this very thing, when he proclaims, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Paul could not have been more clearer when he stated this. To then fall from grace is to accept and follow a belief system that teaches and demands salvation can be earned by working for it, by trying to be good, by trying to follow the law of Moses, or by trying to receive the sacraments or any other work system. To teach these things must be done or worked for is to then preach another gospel. And even though Paul is saying this within the historical context of Judaism, the principle still applies today. If anyone comes and says that you must follow this system of rules and regulations, or you must become a adherent of a group, or believe in a leader's claim, if any of this denies that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone through grace alone, they are preaching another gospel. And that covers, of course, a whole gambit of works-centered religions within and without the church. To fall from grace, let me repeat this again, is to accept and follow a belief system that teaches salvation can be earned by working for it, by trying to be good or by following a set of religious laws and practices instead of what Messiah Jesus did on the cross alone. To fall from grace occurs when one puts his trust or relies on human effort instead of the love and power of God revealed at the cross. Even to teach that grace plus our good works is enough to earn salvation is still an utter repudiation of salvation by grace alone received through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Yeah, there are some that teach that, well, grace enables us to merit salvation. Again, that contradicts the very definition of grace, which is unearned favor. It is either by God's unmerited favor that we are saved, or it is not. You can't work for something that by its very nature cannot be earned or merited. It is as simple as that. If we were able to indeed earn salvation by keeping the law of Moses or any other religious laws and rules, then the death of Jesus Christ would be for nothing because you would be placing your trust in something else other than in Jesus Christ. Even if you were to say, well, it's a combination of trusting Christ and then keeping these set of religious laws, whether it be the law of Moses or the tenets of some other religious system, you are still not trusting in Christ alone for salvation, who alone achieved and obtained salvation for us. Paul says in Galatians 2:2 that we cannot earn salvation, but it is a gift given by God and shown to us through the revelation of the gospel. Paul did not come to this truth by his own exertion of reason or intellectual exercise. No, it came to him by way of revelation, Galatians 2:2. Because it's man's nature to think that in order to achieve something good, noble and beneficial, he must earn it. And in our world, in human civilization, that is true. Human civilization runs on a meritocracy. He that has the means, the power, and the wherewithal to do something can do it. But he must work to do it. But not in the kingdom of God. Salvation is a gift. Mankind cannot work for it or earn it because he is innately flawed from the outset. He is imperfect. And we've seen that in order to obtain God's favor, one must be morally perfect. And there is where the God-man, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, enters in, because he was the only perfect and sinless life ever lived. And through his perfect life, he offers us his perfection as a free gift. And also, he was the only one that could pay the penalty for our sins. The guilty cannot atone for the crimes or the sins of the guilty. Only an innocent party who is righteous and morally perfect could do that. And that is where the Lord Jesus Christ enters into the human arena and accomplishes this for our salvation. If you would like to know Jesus and experience His saving grace, all you have to do is obey what He says in His Word, and that is to admit you are a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sin, and then believe that Messiah Jesus died for you on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. Why don't you right now, through prayer, invite Him into your life to become your personal Savior by saying, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You shed your precious blood that you could forgive me. I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness, and I receive it through your death and resurrection. Come into my heart now, Lord Jesus. Take control of my life. If you've done that, you are now a recipient of the amazing grace of our God and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Until next time, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.